following is a digital media production.
Hi, I'm Kate.
And I'm Joe. On this episode, we're going to be talking about buying fucking organs on the black market and banging old dudes.
And actually a lot of inspiring stuff, Joe. Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf.
And I'm Joe Santagato. It's just us today. There's no one.
Boo! I have to look at this stupid face.
Oh my God, you screamed and scared the shit out of me.
I'm too much energy for Joe Santagato.
A lot.
I listened actually to A Basement Yard for the first time.
Ooh.
It's terrible. No. I was like, boring. No, you're so much more energetic. You're giving it it's just you most of the time. So if you weren't.
A lot of the times I do it when I have a jolt of energy.
You like.
And then I'm like, fuck, I just got to hop.
You chug a Red Bull and then you do it.
No, it's.
And then you pass the fuck out.
No, I'm always doing like dumb shit during the day. Like whenever I have to film on Tuesday, because like there's times where on Tuesdays I don't want to film a video. Like I'm just like, bleh.
I can't believe you have to do that every Tuesday.
Yeah, it kind of sucks. But. It doesn't suck.
I mean, anytime you want a partner. I'm totally teasing. First of all, we're done with the hot collab. Joe Santagato lost out. The Dragon Sorceress is
this
not
ship
appearing.
Has sailed.
Yeah, exactly, buddy. Okay. Yeah. One day you're going to be begging for this to be on your YouTube channel. Okay. Oh. For these Dragon Sorceress tits to make an appearance. You know what? They're not. Anyway. But no, I listened to Basement Yard, and I listened to the end when you promote our podcast, and you literally go, if you want to hear a more serious podcast,
yeah.
Which is, I hear what you're saying. We definitely, but what I love
that is,
no, but this is what I love. They're going to go and check our feed and
it's
literally
like a dick.
Do you see? Yeah. It's like a more serious podcast, and it's like all about fucking getting shit on. And
Yeah. The
one coming out, it'll be out by the time they hear this one, but it's literally called Farting on Birthday Cakes. So they're going to go for the more serious podcast and they're going to be like, huh? But it is. We definitely get into shit.
For sure. I think it's a completely different side that is not, people don't normally get.
No, I agree. I just think I love them checking out the more serious one.
And then, like,
I've titled all of them just like the filthiest names.
Like, is he dead serious about farting? On a cake?
Because we could talk about something serious for like 50 minutes and for 5 minutes talk about the like gross shit and that's what I'll name it.
That's the title?
Yeah. Because I'm an asshole.
Because I'm an asshole?
Because I'm an asshole. So, okay. I have a couple things to say before we get into our topic or topics. First of all, we have a new YouTube page, Invasion of Privacy.
Woo.
Did you check it out at all, Joe?
Yeah, I did.
Did you?
I send you the links all the time. I'm like, which one is it? I'm watching this one.
I think I love, my favorite is the ones with Nathan, obviously.
Yeah, he's fucking.
Because you can see him going fucking nuts.
Yeah, his fucking hands are in the air.
Just flying everywhere. And you get up and walk away for a sec. Okay, so we have a YouTube page if you guys want to see our faces. Also, we have a Facebook page, so you can follow us on there.
Mm-hmm.
I post the videos directly to there, so check that out. Also, thank you for writing reviews. I want to read some of them.
I went and checked them out, like, a couple of them. Because, like, I'm trying to get my podcast back on the fucking iTunes.
Yeah, why?
And I went on the charts to see where we were at.
Okay.
And I looked at it. I don't remember the specific number, but it was up there. And then I was just reading the reviews. And I noticed that we only have 5-star reviews, which is pretty sweet.
It's amazing. Thank you guys, by the way. Seriously.
Yeah.
I love you guys who listen. And it's really nice for you guys to do the 5-star reviews.
And it's funny because in the beginning, like the reviews are like serious, like, oh, it's a good podcast, like blah, blah. And then I start scrolling down. It's like vaginas and shit. And I'm like, all right.
It's so good. Yeah, I want to read some of them. Okay. So, hilarious podcast, 5 stars. That's the title. By Azzie, A-Z-Z-I-E. So I don't know what that person's real name is, but I went on an Invasion of Privacy binge a few months back and was hooked ever since. This is a phenomenal podcast covering almost all topics you can imagine. It also has aspects to it that make you rethink the way you do things and how society works in a funny, engaging way. First of all, thank you. Definitely recommend this to anyone who wants to have a great laugh. P.S. 5 stars to both Kate's vagina and Joe's penis. But he said Kate's V and Joe's P. And then ha, 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 ha.
Let's go.
Into it.
Into it.
All right, let me do the other one.
Here we go.
Okay, let's see. Because this one, I think, went more into detail about...
The dick or P or the vagina.
Why can... Someone talked about your dick, but I can't find it. Here's one where it goes, William's flawless. Kate has a vagina that deserves more than 5 stars. William! Thank you.
He has no idea that...
No, it's magical.
The forest that is...
It is a forest, but once you get past the trees, trust me.
Oh, my God.
It's beautiful. But I can only give a maximum of 5. This is factoring her energy dick, of course.
Mm.
Aw.
He's an avid listener.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. And then, oh, one more. Okay. Joe is also a dragon sorcerer. That's what I'm talking about. That's literally the title of this review. Joe is really? Also a dragon sorcerer. Listen, I've been trying to tell him this for the last 15 minutes that he's an alien king dragon sorcerer. Doesn't care, but he'll, you know, he'll step into his powers one day.
Yeah.
Anyway, 5 stars.
I'm a fucking Pokemon.
This is by Gabra. He hasn't unlocked his full dragon potential yet. I suggest him wearing Kate's sorcery clothes one day. Listen, I agree. I'll try to bring in that Cleopatra.
You are wearing a fucking cloak right now, it looks like.
I do try to dress more like a dragon sorceress more and more every day. Also, and then we'll get to our stuff. Nathan McIntosh and I, we have that show coming up April 21st. We already have a couple people flying out to it, so we're Stop. Super flattered. Yes, Joe's like, they're not that good. We are, okay? Come out, support. We would love to meet you guys. That's April 21st at 8, promo code NateKate if you want to come. And I started another show called Unicorn Tits. It's going to be March 10th if you are in the New York City area. Don't fly out for this one. It's going to be great. But, like, if you want to come out to meet me and Nathan, that's April 21st. But Unicorn Tits, we have comedians on, and then we read their tarot and astrology and make them cry like the little babies we all are.
Jesus Christ.
That's at V-Spot Cafe right next to New York Comedy Club on East 24th. If you want more details, you can go to my Kate Wolf fan page on Facebook. All right, we're good. Let's get to the real shit.
Oh, man.
All right. By the way, Joe, I went on your YouTube channel and I checked out the video of you and Sammy on the helicopter. And I was like, when you made her do the fake blowjob thing, I literally was like, that's love. Like, that's where I, like, because he like grabs her head and makes him like makes her fake blow him, and I was like, I hope I have that one day, you know what I mean? Like, I want that kind of love, because, you know, there was so much, like, man. You can tell you guys care about each other so much. She calls you babe all the time, and then you get to do,
she's
like,
never said my name before. I don't even know if she knows what it is.
You know what? No, I want to date a dude where I get to fake pull his head and make him fake blow me.
Of
like, that's the
do.
Kind of love I want.
Of course you do, Kate.
All right, can you get out the email that I sent you?
Yes.
All right, you read it.
I can't.
I always
I'm not
going to
read it
emails.
Word for word because it's very drawn out. But basically, this person wrote in and it was saying that they're kind of astounded by the black market and the fact that it exists, and they list examples.
The black market on the internet.
Right. It's like, it just astounds me the amount of stuff you can access and what you can do. And then in parentheses wrote, pay an assassin, buy drugs, sell organs. Like,
I mean, is it really that easy to find that stuff on the internet?
I don't think
How do you know it's even like accurate? Shelby, did you just nod your head? I feel like our producer was like, yeah, it is that easy.
I think you just Google like... Fucking yeah! Can you find anything on Craigslist? No,
really? An assassin?
I don't know about an assassin. You might have to like walk in an alley for that shit. But how hard is that? Think about it. If you're like a really rich person, you're gonna pay someone like $10,000 to kill a person. I don't really know what killing a person costs. I haven't looked into that. I'll get back to you, and then I'll give you a
that
better
shit's
estimate.
So fucking scary.
But
that stuff exists. That there are actually assassins and hitmen. Of course there are. I hate that.
Why?
I don't know. I mean, that's terrifying to think that someone could really want you dead and then they just get to pay someone. They're not even worried about it. That's gross.
Yeah. I mean, they are technically, you could be worried about it because, you know, you follow the money and you find where it came from. And then that person goes to jail. Sometimes.
Sometimes. Not when you hire a good assassin. Guys, go to goodassassins.com if you want the hit done right.
I don't know if you can find a good assassin on the black market. I don't know. It's like a myth to me. I've never, like, is it like a page? You just look, there's just a bunch of weird shit for sale.
I bet you, like, the really rich people out there, like the really rich ones, they know, like, the right people to call.
Oh, yeah.
It's fucked up.
It's not fucked up.
There are, like, hidden communities in New York City.
You know why? It's because the world is run by money. So if you have a lot of money, people are willing to do whatever they can for money.
By the way, what the hell shirt are you wearing?
What?
You have like weird like white like roll up sleeve things.
It's not rolled up. It's
what is that?
It's a layered shirt.
Is that a shirt under a shirt?
No, it's just one shirt.
It's one shirt that's supposed to look layered.
It is layered.
Okay.
You done?
No.
It's not a King Tut sweater, but fucking, you know.
All right. Well, at least mine had an energetic purpose.
But back to what I was saying before, you motherfucker.
The other thing is, like, why would you want to buy an organ online? Who the fuck is like, I need a kidney?
Because where else are you going to get a kidney?
That's true, because I know the waiting list is like...
Oh, forget it. I've seen Grey's Anatomy. There's people, there's kids who need heart transplants on that show, and they can't get them for months.
That's also horrifying. But, yeah, I don't know, like, I would never want to buy a kidney online. What, does it come to your fucking door? How do you ship a kidney?
First of all, you don't buy kidneys. Why would you buy a kid? Like, you only need one, right?
Oh, I meant just a kidney.
Why would you buy one? Unless you only have one because you gave one away... And then the other one starts getting shitty. You're like, oh, I need a new one. And how often does that happen? I always hear stories about, like, in Japan or one of those countries that, like, people get drugged and then they fucking cut them open in a bathtub and they woke up and they're stitched up. They got no fucking organs. They don't have no kidney.
No, yeah. I feel like I've seen a fucking horror movie where that happens.
Yeah,
they wake up in a bathtub full of fucking ice.
Yeah, and they're like, okay, I have stitches.
That's the grossest thing I've ever
heard. Imagine drugging someone and just stealing kidneys and selling those. How much do you think kidneys go for?
What kind of childhood does a person need to have that's what they want to do when they grow up?
No, I think what present situation they're in. Because if you think about it, if you're in like a very financially unstable state...
Dude,
you're going to cut open a fucking person.
Dicks. Suck some dicks before you, or like let someone fucking fuck you in the ass or whatever it takes to make money rather than cutting people open.
I'm pretty sure.
That is the worst shit I've ever heard.
No, you know what? One kidney is probably equivalent to 10 dicks. So that's probably why they do it. Save your mouth the problem. Don't suck 10 dicks. You just cut open a person. You sell one kidney. You make 45 grand or whatever the fuck it is.
That's good, Joe.
I'm just saying.
Convince everyone.
I'm just saying if that's the way to go, not the dicks.
Definitely. Yeah, because at least if you're sucking a dick, you're not hurting someone. You're hurting yourself, but
unless
you're not
bad
hurting
at
others.
It. You could be bad at it. Then you'd be hurting someone. You'd be hurting the guy who's
getting
his dick sucked.
To be able to fucking drug someone and cut them open, you are... a demon.
I'm sure there's like a team of people. Like they don't do everything themselves. One person drugs, he falls down, and then the person who cuts comes in.
Surgeon actually knows a little bit about it. They're cutting someone fucking open.
At least watch a
that
YouTube tutorial
disgusting.
On how to use a fucking what's it called scalpel. And then there's another extractor guy. He puts it in a bag and they transport it to the black
and then
market.
Every other organ, if you take it from someone illegally, it's they're dead.
No.
Right?
No. You can live without a kidney.
I'm saying every other organ. If you take out someone's entire liver, they're done.
Oh,
you can't live without
probably.
A liver. Clearly a heart is the most important
you
one.
You can live without a spleen, I'm pretty sure, also.
Okay. I don't know if you can.
I think you can, because they explode all the time. Not all the time, but, you know.
Huh. All right, well...
We sound like fucking idiots. I
know.
Don't know what the hell...
We never researched, but... But my point is, that's horrifying, and I don't know why anyone would want to buy that on the black market, but I guess these are people who are in, like, really desperate situations, right? Because if, like, your kid needs a new something, and you're on a waiting list, and they're going to die, that'll be something you can go to.
One of the examples...
But then you're buying it from someone who might have been fucking, like, drugged, and you know what I mean?
Well, Kate, it's not like the black market is a first option.
Ever.
The black market is, if you're buying an organ... is like, I've tried everything else. I'm going to die. I might as well take a chance with this one. Hopefully it doesn't have fucking AIDS on it or whatever. You know? It's like the last option. You're like, fuck it. Let's just try this. See where this comes from. It's shipping from Peru.
Man,
let's
this
see.
Was a dark first email.
Whatever.
All right.
You get a box
what
in the
mail. What
did
they say? They said assassins, organs, what else?
And
is
drugs.
On?
No one buys drugs in the black market. It's like, especially in New York City, you walk down the block.
It is the black. Isn't everywhere the black market for drugs?
Yeah. There's no drugs in the black market. Unless there's drugs we don't know about that, like, do all kinds of shit.
Have you ever smoked weed? Never, right?
No.
That's so weird.
I just never.
Has Sammy ever smoked weed?
Yeah.
Interesting. I would love to get high with Sammy one day.
She hated it.
Did she?
Yeah.
I told you I had a dream with you and Sammy again, but there was nothing sexual. You guys were just like hanging with me and supporting me emotionally, like buds.
Dream sounds fucking
terrible. It was actually not the most exciting dream, but I really felt that you guys loved me and had my back.
So you would just have dreams of just hanging out with people?
Sometimes. Mm-hmm. No, but normally my dreams are like, I had a weird, crazy dream where I was at the bottom of the ocean on the Titanic, like in the big ballroom, but like I wasn't drowning. Like I was like chilling in it and I was supposed to live there, which I think represents the depths of my emotions that I'm dwelling in at the moment.
Or maybe Titanic was on TV recently.
Nope.
It was on TV recently because I saw Kate Winslet's
tits the other
day. I
don't fucking even have cable or anything.
All right.
Who the fuck knows? Everyone's making Joe Santagato money.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have cable. I'm rich now. Fucking whatever it
is.
Yeah,
but you are doing well for yourself. 2 million Facebook followers. Do you know how big? 2 million. I'm about to hit 4,000 Twitter followers and I'm like throwing myself a party. I'm going to masturbate to my 4,000 Twitter followers. I'm so excited. 2 million?
Huh.
God,
that's a lot.
That's a lot of people, Joe.
That's too many.
What are you going to do with all this power?
Probably just poison the masses.
Yeah. Start telling them about the black market of organs. I don't even know how to phrase that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Either. Anyway, can you get to the next email then?
All right.
Pull it up, Joe.
Should I read it word for word? It's kind of, these are like...
I mean, if you want to read it word for word or you can sum it up, I do either.
All right, here we go. There's a 17-year-old chick. She works at a job. She says she loves her job, which is rare in retail. And
so maybe it's like at the mall or something?
I don't know. Who knows? She's 17 years old. I would be psyched to have a job that pays any type of money at that age.
Do you remember the store structure? It was like...
No,
I'm run not. By like, it's almost like Express for Men. I worked there for
structure.
Like,
I've never even heard of
it. I think they changed it now to Express for Men, but I worked there like as a teenager for like a week and I hated it.
Really?
Yeah, I went back to
I would
to being...
never want to work in retail ever. Just walk over and just fucking, do you have this in somewhere? This is fucking dumb. Or I'm the worst person when I go shopping. Like I pick something up and I put it against my body. And like whatever fucking germs I'm carrying that day are all over the shirt now. I'm like wiping
what
my face with it.
What germs would you be carrying?
I don't know, man.
Like you're sick with the flu? Like what are you talking
just
about?
Fucking around. I'm just saying, if enough people put a shirt up against their body, the shirt's dirty.
Well, that's
dirty.
Why, listen, that's why when you go to try underwear on at like Victoria's Secret, they have those little like liners that cover the vag part.
Really?
Yeah. Can you imagine like putting... underwear that's been tried on by like 20 other people onto your vagina.
It's a lot of puss up against puss.
Who knows what people have?
Yeah, that's.
Do you ever shit in public places?
I shit in the gym this morning.
Do you sit down when you shit or do you like hover the whole time?
Yeah.
I just sit right down.
Dip my ass in the water. I don't give a fuck. Go home, take a shower.
I don't really shit.
I only, it's like an emergency. I have to be like, am I shit myself? What am I going to shit myself?
No, I definitely shit in public places.
Yeah, I mean, I stopped caring. I mean, it's gross and like I try not to.
It's not
to.
Like a first. You know what though? Not that it's not a first choice. I always feel like I got away with something for free when I take a shit in a public place. I'm like, ha, didn't have to do that one at home.
That's the weirdest fucking way to think about it.
As if it like ruins my toilet to do it, but like it makes me excited.
You know what's crazy? I like plan around that.
Really?
Like shit. Yeah. Like I'm like, if I eat right now, I have a meeting in the city at 3:00. Like if I eat now, I might not have to shit until, you know, 3:15, 3:20. And I'll already be in the meeting. So then I'm going to have to shit in an office.
I can't plan
I
my poops.
Plan.
They come
I
on so
God.
Suddenly. Like,
no, not me.
I'll be talking to a friend. I'm like, oh my God, I have to poop. And I'm the most turbo pooper. Like it's like, you think I just peed. Because everything about me is turbo. So I can go to the bathroom, it's quick, and then I'm back out. And they're like, you pooped? And I'm like, yeah. I get
that's
shit.
Good.
I get shit
you
done.
Could, you could just lie then. You know what I mean? Because there is times.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Like, when everyone knows that when you go into a bathroom when there's a bunch of people around, you have, on average, I would say a minute and 1 second that if you're over, people are assuming, oh, they're taking a shit. But if you're under, they're like, probably just to pee.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
So you're like, you lounge to poop?
Oh, I don't lounge to poop, no. But there have been times where I was like, well, if in situations that I'm like, I don't really want everyone here to know that I'm taking a shit. You know what I mean? Because like, you don't need a room, like it's like a party or something. Everyone's in this room and the bathroom is right there. So you're like, I'm going to go in here. And then you're in there so long that once you come out, people have forgot that you went in there. They're like, oh, this guy was taking a dump that whole time. So what I do is I just let it rock until it's an emergency so that when I get in there, it just comes out. I'm in there. Clean everything up. I clean everything up. Make it seem like it went everywhere. But I just I go in there. Comes out quick. You're out. People are like, oh, that was probably a piss. Maybe he took long washing his hands. I always come out, you know, doing the extra wash.
Remember we had Brett Druck on, though? He was making a joke about it. Like, the people who are actually watching to see how long you take a shit or if you're taking a shit, they're the weirdos.
They are.
Like, stop. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
We've been saying the word shit. Okay, let's go back to the email.
Oh, sorry. Okay. So this girl works in retail.
She's 17.
She's 17, and her boss, who is the head manager of the store, she says is the most amazing man she's ever met in her life. He's funny.
Yeah, because he's, what, isn't he 30? Of course he's the most amazing man because he's way more mature than all of her 17-year-old guy friends.
Well,
you know, keep going.
And
he's married.
He's married with kids. She's 17, and she calls herself, I'm like a reverse pedophile. And then she wrote in parentheses, and no, I do not have daddy issues. I don't understand here. I mean, I think she's just kind of asking what we think of her
what
situation.
We should do. Okay, you know what? You need to break up the marriage. Clearly. Fuck those kids. They don't need... I'm doing a Nathan right now. They don't need a good family to grow up in.
To her
you know?
Defense, she did say she's
he
not,
probably would love that 17-year-old puss.
She's not pursuing him or anything like that, but she does have... She claims to have serious... feelings.
First of all, you know,
for the guy.
And listen, that can totally happen, but you know she's going into work wearing like some sexy outfits with cleavage.
Oh no, she's never dragging ass into that place. She's good. She's got all her fucking makeup.
You
done.
Know she's coming in though and like being kind of like flirty and like, you're so smart and funny. Girls know how to fucking, what's the word?
Flirt.
Okay, flirt, but there was something I wanted to use a better word, and now you made me feel stupid.
What other word is there?
No, like they seduce? Know how to like, yeah, but like seduce, yeah, but we know how to like lay it on thick, you know, like we know how to be
good
like,
Lord,
you know. So I kind of feel bad for the dude because he's probably picking up on these flirty vibes from this like good-looking 17-year-old.
Wait,
and even
we
if
don't
he's,
know that.
I know I'm totally creating a story. That
yeah,
might not
like
be
you're
real.
Making it like a porno now. No one said she's like super good looking. She may be. Hey, God bless. But let's not paint
okay,
the perfect
right.
picture here.
You're right.
Or the guy is a regular person and goes, she's 17. No.
I
and
hope
I have
he does
a wife
that.
And kids.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the real advice to this girl is, yeah, it makes sense that you're developing feelings for someone like. I remember when I was, how old was I? 17. I worked at a camp as a camp counselor, and I worked with this guy who was like 6 or 7 years older than me, and he had a family, and I definitely got a crush on him because, once again, he was like way more mature than any guy I was used to, sweet and sensitive. And I, you know, was like, like I had a little crush, but you just have to keep it real with yourself and be like, okay, that's fine to have a crush, but like, you also have to be like, well, nothing's going to happen, you know?
Yeah. And also, it's like, you don't really know this person. You know what I mean? Like, they're your boss.
Yeah.
So it's like, obviously, he has to keep it professional with you. Even if he doesn't a little bit of the time, and it's just kind of like, oh, fucking blah, 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 and you guys have that little cool boss-employee relationship, you still don't really know the person. You kind of just like the idea of, like, he's an older man, he's the manager, and he's stable life, and blah, blah, blah. So that's kind of what she's...
Yeah, I feel like, and girls do this a lot. I'm sure guys do too, where you romanticize it. So she's also probably placed all these things on this guy now. Like, he would probably be perfect and this. And like,
right.
Who knows what the dude's really like.
Hey, probably he could beat the shit out of his kids and wife. Who knows?
Yeah.
Nice guy at work, bad guy at home.
There you
happens
go.
Happens every time.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the ones you got to watch out.
I actually have dated some dudes who... were like super nice to everyone that they meet, you know what I mean? And then not as nice to me, you know? I know that happens a lot where like the dude's really charming. There are a lot of girls who get beat who say that where they're like, you know, at work he was like the sweetest, nicest guy, but then his true self, the darker self, came out at home. So I love they were making this guy like
yeah, now
a
we're
demon.
Just...
You said that I was going too far in one direction and then,
yeah,
we, like,
and then I completely took it in
the
other
opposite
way.
Story. But the whole thing is like, listen, crushes happen. All the time. You know, and you just got to keep it real. You're not going to be with this dude.
Yeah, and as much as you like to think that you're matured or whatever, you're not. And you really have nothing in common with a 30-something-year-old person. Like, that's what it really comes down to. Like, I don't know how you could be compatible with someone who's 20 years older than you. You guys, especially now, you live.
Some people say they do meet their soulmate and they're like, there's that age gap. I don't know.
Of course, there's exceptions to the rule, but for the most part, no. Or it's just like people do that thing where it's like, this person's good looking and like kind of cool, so whatever, it works. So, you know what I mean? And they just do that. But it's like, then you never really know what a true relationship is kind of like. You don't experience that. You just experience this little bullshit thing that you guys are both putting up with each other because you think you both are good looking. Does that make fucking sense, or am I like just...
No, I hear what you're saying. It's the same thing of like when you fantasize it, but it's not actually real yet, you can fill in all the blanks, all the gaps with like how perfect it would be. But then in the reality, if they actually had a relationship, yeah, she's 17. I dated a dude who was a substantial amount younger. And like we got along great, but there was still that difference did not, you know what I mean? It mattered.
Yeah. I think there's just certain ages where you just haven't experienced enough. And 17 is one of them and 18 is another. I like to think that the age is 23, 24 to where, depending on your case, age doesn't matter anymore. Once you get to 23, 24. But like before that, you haven't really experienced enough to be able to relate to someone who has gone through whatever. Because you're put in the school system and you do the same thing every day for your entire life. So yeah. It's like you're not really thrown out into the world and had to fend for yourself and live alone and do this shit. College, yeah. I'm not counting either. You lived alone, kinda. You know what I mean? It's like you lived alone. You just had to do your own laundry.
You have
and
to
buy
go through
food,
some shit.
But it's like you didn't have to pay for rent or like any of, you know what I mean? It's
do you like, feel like you've gone through a lot of shit yet?
No.
Yeah.
I haven't.
Because I've gone through some shit.
No, I have gone through shit, but like certain things
I don't mean like you have never had any things, but like for me, it's like I've been through a divorce. I have a kid that I'm raising on my own.
Yeah.
You know, for me, the friends that I even get along with the most are like 10 years older than me. Do you know what I mean? And they've gone through
either
like a divorce or they have kids or like they were alcoholics and then got sober. Like for the most part, the people I relate to have also been through a lot of stuff and kind of came out of it and got to the other side. So, I mean, who knows? But yeah, no matter what, you know, it sucks that you have feelings for this guy you work with, but you will meet someone else that you have those feelings for. You're so young. You know, I would say like, look at what about him really makes you excited. Like, oh, you love that he's smart. You love that he's funny. And keep that in mind and don't settle. You know what I mean? So take those things and be like, wow, this is what I'm going to look for when I do meet a guy and try to benefit from that crush
and just,
instead of like going into this like, oh, if only we could be together.
Yeah. And just think about this. Like when you're in a school, usually you're there for 4 years on average, right? I'll say 4 years. You're with the same people for 4 years.
Yeah.
So it's like once you're thrown into a different situation and you meet some guy who's new, oh, he doesn't go to my school. He doesn't do this. He doesn't do that. And he's different. He's funny. We get along. So it's like, of course you're going to have feelings for that guy and think he's the one. But that's only because you've been to two places.
Yeah.
Your school and your job and your house. You know what I mean? But you can't fuck anyone there.
Yeah.
So your school and your house. Yeah,
Speak for yourself, Joe.
Your school and your house. And yeah, one time you went to a bar with your older cousin and whatever. But like when you're in that age, like high school and younger, those are the only places you go. So when you find someone that is even remotely nice to you or attractive or a combination of both or whatever in a new setting, a place you haven't been before, it's kind of like, oh, that's the one. But that's why I'm saying, like, once you get to 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, it's like you've been out in the real world. Nothing is handed to you, whereas in college and you know, high school and stuff, everything's kind of structured for you to win, for you to survive. once you're out of that, you're on your own and you need to figure it out. And if you don't know something, you can't go to a desk and be like, hey, what do I do? And they give you the answers. You have to figure it out. So it's like that completely changes your mentality and your kind of shows your true colors in a way.
Yeah.
So then you become the person that you're going to become for the rest of your life. And it's just like a different mentality.
It's a whole different thing.
It's hard to be compatible with someone like that or have things in common with someone who's been in that world and you haven't.
And anyway, what we're already saying is it doesn't even matter. He's married. Like you don't want to put yourself in that situation. You know, like even if she was like 23 and it could somehow work, if a dude's already in something, you don't want to fuck with that. And like worst case, he actually like cheats on her with you, you know, and then leaves her for you. Most of the time those situations don't work out. You know, because how could you ever trust them? And you know, we're going to take a quick break, actually. I just looked at the time, but we'll continue this in a sec.
Hey, it's your boy Ocho, man of the Ocho Cinco and Dukes podcast. Check out our podcast to hear my thoughts on sports, life, relationships, and the number one thing that means the most to me, love. Find new and archived episodes of the Ocho Cinco and Dukes podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and TuneIn.
We're back. Yeah, but what I was saying is, you know, any situation where you fall for someone who already is in a relationship and you try to like win them out of it, you know, if that person is happy in their relationship, let them be. And if they aren't happy, but they're staying, I don't even want that quality in a partner. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, I want someone strong enough where if they're unhappy in a relationship, they would leave on their own.
Right.
I have a friend who became friends with this girl who like fell for him, and she said to him, she was engaged. She's like, listen, I want to be with you instead of my fiance. But I want to know first that you'll be with me before I leave this guy. Like, ew. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's
like just that kind of shit is so unattractive to me. Like, if you're not strong enough to be on your own, like you just need anyone. No, like that to me is such a weakness. Someone who can't stand to be alone ever. I don't know.
It is a weakness. That is way dumber. That's pretty dumb. Like, what is? Like,
but
you want to trade?
A lot of people are just so scared to be alone with themselves that like they hop from relationship to relationship. And listen, I used to do that. I was definitely a serial monogamist in my past.
Yeah, and it's a hard thing to break. And because once you're used to something your entire life, like that's kind of what you do. It's like learning a new language almost. You know what I mean? If you've been in a relationship your entire life, you don't really know how to date or meet new people. You know what I mean? So it's kind of just like, what the hell do I do now? You just hop into the next relationship and now you're back to where you were before. You feel comfortable.
The thing I was going to say before that we were also onto is like, I found for me recently, it's like, you know, when you first meet someone and there's like feelings, like there's like that spark or that chemistry, I'm learning to not jump on that initial attraction because it's so rare for me to even feel that in my past I'd be like, oh, I finally feel something. Let's just go for it and kind of override other signals going like, okay, cool. There's something pulling you towards this person, but it might be for the wrong reasons. Like you might be getting pulled towards him because it reminds you of a dynamic from your childhood that wasn't healthy. And I'm now learning that even if I feel that, I write it out and have patience and still slowly get to know a person, which I think most people are scared to do. And it reminded me of what we were saying because, like, you know, she's feeling this kind of chemistry or whatever, but it doesn't mean he's the one. Like, it's telling her something about herself.
Yeah,
like, there's
like,
something in her that she
like,
likes and is attracted to.
Right, you like that kind of personality on a guy. But it doesn't necessarily mean that he's the one. And what you were saying before, like, that's something that I have had a problem with, like, in my life where I don't jump into things because I like to think that I have good intuition and I'd know within the first 10 minutes if I would date this person or not, or if I like this person or not.
Well, that's because you're an alien king.
Here we go. That's how I feel. I feel like, all right, I would date this person, blah, blah, blah. Like, in the first 15 minutes of actually meeting them face to face. And even with Sammy, like, we jumped into a relationship. And I have been single for most of this is the longest relationship I've had by far.
Yeah.
By far. And we jumped into a relationship pretty quickly. Like, it was, like, three weeks. And I was like, all right, I'm in. You know what
Aww.
I mean? But, like, after a month, I started thinking, whoa, what the hell did I do?
With Sammy?
Yeah. Not like, what the hell did I do? Like, this is bad. But like, whoa, that was fast.
Oh, it was like a lot where you're like, yeah. Oh, now I'm in.
Right.
It's and like, you look around and like the water's all around and you're like, okay.
Yeah, it wasn't like a bad thing. It was like kind of just like, that was quick. And maybe I shouldn't have done that because I don't know this person well enough.
And then it ended up working out, though.
Yeah, it obviously ended up working out because we're still
together.
See,
I've been in that situation where I look around and I'm in the water and I'm like, oh, no, this water has sea snakes in it.
Right, which very well could have happened because, like, at the time, I knew her, yeah, but we didn't spend that much time together that I would have, if in my perfect world, would have liked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's so hard to pace it when you have those excited feelings.
Right. And I think that's just because...
Like, again, waiting to have sex for me is like, oh my God. Like, the moment my vagina flinches, I'm like, are we in or are we out? You know? And yeah. It's like, Kate's vagina, please take a breather.
Yeah. I don't know. It was just kind of like, when you have a feeling, you just kind of act on it. And I had that feeling, so that's why I acted on it. But, you know, that's something that... refrain from doing for the most part when it comes to other things. So I kind of thought after a month, I was kind of like, you don't actually know this person. And nothing was going bad. Everything was going great at the time. It wasn't like something happened.
But I know
like,
what you're saying, where you're
but
just like, well, like, I'm in deep. I don't even know fully who this is yet. I hope this is a good thing.
Yeah, I didn't even feel like I was in deep. I was just kind of like the timeline. I was just kind of like, okay, that was fast. And if this doesn't work out, like, I wouldn't be surprised
because
I did.
It's amazing it worked out for you because, like, that's only really worked out for me one time with my ex, Joe, who I got engaged to. But then clearly that didn't work out. But no, like, every other time that I've jumped in and I'm so impulsive and that's so hard. But I'm doing it. It's been such a hard thing, my impulsiveness, because that comes... I was unable to sit with myself and my feelings. So I was so quick to want to like fill that void with something.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it's just totally healthy. You feel excited, you meet someone you click with and that's rare and you're just like, fuck, like let's do this. But I, especially from what I've been through, I need to really try to take it slower and kind of ride that out a little bit and know that if the person likes me enough, he's willing to be patient and will wait.
Exactly.
Because if he's like, no, we need to do it now. Like there's something going on there.
And I don't know why it was like, why it even happened like that. Like, honestly, because nothing felt forced or anything like that.
You were just excited.
I was very excited that because like I wasn't in relationships for a long time. And like, there's certain qualities that you look for in people. And I found a lot of them in her. So it was exciting that I did find that. So I was just kind of like, oh, fuck it. I'm in now. Like, you know what I mean? I just kind of pulled the trigger on that. But that's why, like, after a month, I was kind of like, okay, you know, everything is cool, but Jesus Christ, that was quick. Like, you should have at least got to know her better. But, you know.
But, yeah, no, I mean, cool. Sammy.
But, like, say something like her family was fucking nuts or, like, her brother hated me or.
Yeah.
You mean like all those things are qualities that I didn't even know yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You
lucked out with her and her family.
Or like her friends or like just whatever. Or like her, just her situation or I never.
She's an alien queen, I believe. I haven't felt as deeply into Sammy, but she's a really special person.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously she's beautiful on the outside, but she's also, I know this sounds corny, but she really is a beautiful person. And you guys both have that like quality of, kindness, like a purity to you. And like if you were dating some girl, I looked into her soul and you could see like some manipulative qualities, I'd be so pissed. I would. Like I'd hate it if you were dating some like mean, like, you know what I mean, where she was like faking nice, but I could look and because I can do that, you know, I can look and tell if someone's like fake nice, but on the outside, I don't know. So I'd be so pissed. No, I'd be so upset.
No, she's great. Luckily, it worked out, and her brother doesn't hate me. He loves me.
Aw.
And her
family. Her dad likes you, even though he kind of threatens your life at times.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, everything's, like, cool. But I was just saying, like...
Sorry,
That's why, it's easy for me now to tell people, like, just to take your time and really get to know someone, because I didn't do that, but it worked out. You know what I mean? Like, I had barely met... like her family or anything. And those are important things, I feel like. You know what I mean?
Well, here's the thing. And like, there's this video by this guy, Bashar. He's an alien channel. He like channels his alien self. Check him out, Bashar on YouTube. But one of the videos that I love that you should look at, it's You Always Make the Right Choice. And what I love in what he says is, like, you can't look back, though, even the times that, for me, you know, because I've rushed in and ended up in some pretty gnarly situations, which, listen, I'm going to learn from those mistakes. But he's like, you never make the wrong choice, because I needed to experience those things to understand what I wanted, where I wanted to go and the choices I wanted to make. And for me, you're different. Like, but for me, I think I had to really go into some, like, deep, dark places and go, oh, no, this isn't for me. But also, a lot of times attraction is about bringing your shadow elements of self up. So, like, you know, I don't want to use anyone specific, but, like, some of the people in the past that I've met, they almost reflected to me my own anger that I wasn't in touch with, or, like, my own demons, right? So, like, I was attracted to this person for a reason. And that relationship, even though it was really painful, let me get in touch with these, like, deeper places in myself that I hadn't been able to access without that relationship.
All right. I think, and I have a good relationship with all the people that I have, like, dated for any amount of time. But there was specifically, there was this one girl that I dated for, like, a week, like, 4 years ago or 5 years ago. And it was like, looking back on it, it was strictly because of her appearance. Like, I thought she was so hot, and I was just like, fuck it, I'm in. Like, you know what I mean? And we weren't really even that compatible. Like, our conversations were kind of trash. Like, they weren't, like, interesting. It was just kind of just whatever. And I was just kind of, it was almost like I was using her as a trophy. Like, look what I got. So, like, that little stint, it was like a learning experience for me.
Yeah, it's like I realized the external, like, isn't gonna, yeah, just the, like, external,
like,
won't,
dude,
be fulfilling.
Not, don't do this again. Yeah. You know what I mean? The next time you meet a pretty girl, you're not gonna do that. But I like to think that also, you know, not that everyone's an upgrade, but, like, everyone's an upgrade for you. Not an upgrade compared to each other.
Yeah.
But they're an upgrade for you. Like, all the people I've dated have led up to Sammy, and she's obviously right now the best one for me out of all the ones that I have dated, because obviously those didn't work out for a reason. And when they don't work out, you take certain things from the relationship and then you put it towards a new person.
And that's what I was trying to say with this girl who's in love with her boss. It's like, she can use this experience instead of using it to, like, feel crushed, I'll never meet the one, he's gone. You can be like, oh, I'm gonna use this as an upgrade. Like, I'm gonna take what I'm learning from what I'm attracted to and know that that's what I want when I do find a good relationship, or, you know what I mean? So, and I love what you're saying, because ultimately every experience that you encounter in life, you can go in different directions with it. You can use it to be like, you know, to be like cynical and be like, see, life's no good, I broke up, nothing, I'll never find love. Or you can be like, wow, that was a really beautiful, cool experience. I learned a lot about myself.
Yeah.
And I'm going to use that to keep going, move forward, and experience new things.
I mean, I don't really get how people regret relationships. Like, God forbid, if me and Sammy broke up today, like, I wouldn't like look back and be like, oh, that was fucking terrible. No,
because I don't,
like,
regret any relationship,
yeah,
I've ever been in.
It's dumb, and
I sometimes get a little salty.
And I never like
bad. I don't regret.
I never like badmouth people that I have dated, also, because they're part of the journey, almost. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like I said before, they've led up to Sammy, and if that ends, then it will lead up to someone else.
Yeah.
And I think what, at least for me, I like to think this, that the fact that Sammy is so great, it's a testament to the other girls that I have dated, because they were great as well.
Yeah.
And so it's like my standards were constantly being pushed higher and higher and higher.
Yeah.
Which have led me to this point.
Man, so if, like, you and Sammy get married, which I could see happening, like, you would have lucked out at such a young age. I mean, it fits with your whole alien kingness.
Oh, my God.
Getting that parking spot outside. I mean, come on, Joe. The other thing I want to say, you know, there was someone I dated recently-ish, kind of, that only lasted, like, 3 weeks. But what happened in that dynamic, what came out in me was, like, this dark, and a cool dark, like a dark artistic part of myself that I kind of had buried away. And when I was with this person, I felt like way more inspired than normal. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, like, ideas start coming out more. And then when we ended it, and it was right to end it, for a second, I felt so lost and upset, because I was like, oh my God, I'm not going to be able to access this part of myself without this person. But, you know, what I realized, and this is with everything, not just relationships, but with, like, anything that you have like transference to, meaning like, you know, you could have transference, you could see a chair and something comes up. But like, what I realize is everything's within you. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, this person allowed something that I'd pushed way down. For whatever reason, our chemistry allowed it to come up. But when he left my life, I now figured out how to get in touch with that part of myself without him. Mm-hmm. You know, and it just made me realize, like, wow, I was feeling whole around all these different people that I was with. But it wasn't because they were actually filling me. They were just bringing out a side in me that was already there that I had trouble getting in touch with without them for some reason.
Yeah.
And that whole realization, though, really helped me because I was like, I'm truly okay on my own, but these people are just helping me to bring these things up, even if it's pain. Like, even if it was a painful, angry relationship, if I was pushing down, like, anger that I'd felt at my mom years ago that I was having trouble getting in touch with, like, oh, wow, they're allowing me to feel this finally so I can actually be more whole, even if they're not in my life anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's just helped me. And the last thing I kind of want to say is, I don't know how you're going to feel about this, but, you know, the earth plane is kind of like a hologram. All right. I hope I don't lose you here. But what that kind of means is literally everything you experience, your external world, is really a reflection of your internal. And that just goes to show how much power you actually have. But people want to blame all their external as, you know, as to why they're not happy. But it's like, if you just work on yourself and figure out how to make yourself feel more whole, I promise you, your external world will shift and change. But that's been the hardest lesson for me to learn.
No, yeah, that's absolutely true. Like, the example that I've read before, that's like a popular example, is like, if you wake up in the morning and stub your toe, the rest of your day is going to suck because you just already have a bad attitude about it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And
you,
yeah.
Like, you're like, oh, the fucking coffee maker's not working. Like, on a normal day, you'd be like, eh, whatever, I'll just fucking buy Dunkin' Donuts or some shit. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So it's like, the way you look at things, obviously, it does play a big factor in your own happiness. Moral of the story, don't stub your fucking toes in the morning. Just
I stubbed my toe really badly yesterday. I sliced it open. It was bleeding everywhere.
Ooh.
Because I have this mattress that has the plastic. Still, whatever. It's fine. I don't need to go into it. But it really fucking hurt. But yeah, no. So I just, once again, we don't have to dwell on the whole thing. But it really is true that it's all about the inner world, which is what we are not taught by most people, right? It's like, oh, you want to be happy? Buy this house. Or you need to have this job that everyone's like so impressed with. And it's just like, no, you just need to really, you know, be true to yourself. And it's not, money's good because you can pay the bills, obviously. But for the most part, you know, the external things are not going to be what makes you happy,
you know,
or feel
crazy,
fulfilled.
Like, I know we have to like wrap up soon, but like, I really think, and I don't know if this is right. I just feel like right now it's the right thing, but I could just change my mind completely in 15 minutes. But I really feel like if you just allow yourself to not be controlled by money, you'll be totally fine.
Yeah.
Because like, if you stop caring, like, who gives a shit? You know what I mean? Because money really makes people crazy. Like, they will do anything. They will change the way they talk. They will change the way they dress. They will do whatever. But if you just don't care, it's like, you're doing whatever the fuck you want then. You know what I mean? Because money controls the world. Money controls the world. You need it to survive. You need this. You need that. Yeah, you do. If you allow yourself not to be controlled by money, and, you know, people will take that statement and switch it into, oh, okay, then you're poor, you're homeless, blah, 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 you don't care about money, whatever. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, if you don't be controlled by money. So it's like, if you get a job and like, you're cool with your job. Like, I always said, like, I would be totally fine making $40,000 a year doing whatever I like doing. If I didn't make a nickel more than that a year, I would not give a shit.
Totally, me too.
I just need enough to live, and that's fine. Like, as long as you're doing what you want, you're happy, you know what I mean? And I know myself, I'm not going to be like happy with $40,000, but it has nothing to do with the money. It's more of like, I want to create different things, but those are also going to lead to money.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's all connected in a way.
But the reason why you're even able to do that is because you're not controlled by money.
Right. You don't want to be controlled by it. You don't want to be like, oh, I'll give you this job, but you know, you got to sacrifice all these hours and you got to dress this way, which means you got to go out and buy suits. And you got to get them dry cleaned all the time.
Can you imagine having to wear a suit every fucking day?
Well, not me, but I can understand how people would want to do that for sure.
I guess if that's in your soul song to do it, do it.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I'm not, like, I understand people have the shit that they like, and I'm not interested in certain things, and I know they're not interested in the shit that I'm interested in, like, whatever. But as long as you don't allow yourself to be controlled by the idea of earning money, then I think you're
because that's not fine. What's going to make you happy anyway.
Exactly.
And the, like, next thing you know, you're selling organs on the black market.
There you go. It all comes full circle. But I, like, right now, I'm in the process of creating. I'm putting certain things in place, but all of the things that I'm putting in place, they could, in the long run, turn out to be worth millions of dollars. You know what I mean? All the ideas that I have now that I'm working on. And no one knows them yet, but I know when I put them out, I'm only doing that as, like, a side thing. I'm not, like, I'm going to pursue it 100%, yes, but I'm not going to use that as, like, this is my job. This is what I'm banking on. Like, I'm not banking on it. Like, I'm doing it because I want to do it. I'm not, like,
well,
in
you're
it.
So good at following your highest excitement. And I know I've said that before, but that's really what you're supposed to do. Most people are too scared. And it's not to, like, insult them. You know, I get it. I've been there where you're terrified. Oh, but, like, if I quit this job or if I leave this school, I'll be nothing. Or, you know, like, I'll end up homeless. And I get that fear. But, like, if you can figure out how to get past them, happiness is on the other side. And I just know that sounds so corny, but we've created this, like, false prison for ourselves and for each other where we think we're stuck in things where it's really, like, the only thing that's keeping you stuck is really your beliefs.
Yeah. And if you have a vision, you never compromise your vision for money. There's been times where a company has offered me a lot of money to advertise on one of my videos, but in the middle of it. Like, in the middle of my, and I told him, no, I'm not doing that. Even though it was worth a lot of
the
money.
Art.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, dude, that's not what I'm doing. You know what I mean? Then it's like, then it's corny. Then you become a fucking NASCAR driver jacket. You got all these ads all over you. Like, people don't like you anymore. And it's just, it looks dumb. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm not doing that. Like, it'll go at the end or it's not going in at
totally.
All. And, like, I could say no to $1 million because I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, I could say no to $1 million right now if it's going to compromise my vision because I already think
I always say that stuff, though, when people do the thing like, for $1 million, would you sleep with this gross? And I'm like, no, my soul's not for sale ever with anything. Like, seriously, I don't understand people who do that. But I guess, you know, it's this fear. But, you know, I quit teaching and I was making like $70,000 a year. I had great benefits, summers off. I was an art teacher. Like, everyone's like, oh, that's the perfect job. I wasn't happy. So when I quit, and quitting as a single mom is terrifying. And listen, I do it. I share a room with my kid. You know, I'm not making a lot of money, but I am so much happier. I don't regret it at all. It was the best decision of my life. But, you know, you have to kind of, like you said, you have to give things up almost to do that. But I'm always willing to give up things in the external for my soul.
And it's easier to do, like, the earlier you do it, the better. The earlier you start to understand that, the better. Because if you're only 16, 17, and you start realizing, you know what, I'm not going to be controlled by money. I have my vision. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And it's all going to lead to money. If you just have your vision and do that, like, don't be like, fuck it. I'll just do this because it's more money. Like, fuck that, dude. Do the one that you want. Like, I remember my friend was going in between two jobs and he's like, this one, you work more hours and, or whatever. Like, it was just like a better setup. It was like, but it was more money. And he didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
Or there was this other job that he already had that he really liked, but it paid less.
Yeah.
And I'm like, to me, that's a fucking no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer.
You know what I mean? Unless you're like in of course, there's exceptions to everything. And I say that all the time because people give me wild scenarios like, what about this? Okay, yeah. If there's scenarios where you're in like a dire need for money and you like just need it, then you have to. You got to do what you got to do to survive, obviously. I'm not saying that. I'm saying if you're given the choice and you'll be fine either way, you just want more money just to have more money and a nicer house.
It just doesn't make sense, right? Because then it's like, yeah, you're unhappy, but now you can what? Go on more vacations every now and then? But like those are spread throughout. You know what I mean? Like I'd rather be happy every day than like be able to enjoy like 2 weeks of the year, you know, or wear nicer shoes on my way to the job I hate. Like it just doesn't. make sense. And some people, they date a dude or a girl, like you said, like because it's a trophy, maybe not even because of their looks, but what they do. Oh, I'm dating a guy who, you know, he makes this much money and he's got this position and it like makes them feel cool. Like, oh, I'm dating this doctor and he's so rich. And right. It's like, yeah, but do you love him? Does he treat you right? Is he loyal? Like, it's like, who cares?
Yeah. And for some people, their vision and their highest excitement would be working 60 hours a week as a whatever, an investment banker and making a ton of money, which is totally fine. Like, that's your shit. You know what I mean? It's not, it could, it's may,
totally.
Might,
I just
it
can't
may not
imagine.
Be someone else's, but like people like that. People like being,
no, I met the guy. Do you never hear of the Federalist? It's like a big,
no, but I'm what you're saying is like working all those hours. How can you enjoy that? There are some people that enjoy working.
Yeah, but they might
being,
just be workaholics and they might be running from something.
Yeah, but or not, Kate, you don't have to fucking say that about everyone.
Okay.
Fair, not fair. Everyone is the fucking, you know, a dainty little fairy like you.
I don't know.
I know you don't. Obviously. Some people are just wired that way.
I think
way
most
just
people
like
are
it.
Dainty little fairies. I don't know. That's the world I live in. I think we're all just so much more vulnerable and sweet more than we admit. But anyway, keep going.
That's because that's how you are.
I don't know. I think most people are, and then we've built
most
all these
you
defenses
know
up.
Most people you know are.
No.
You can't say most people because you don't know most people. You
okay,
know
but
like
100
people.
I know a lot of comedians, and I
you
think
know 100
deep down,
people,
whatever.
Kate.
What I know more than 100 people.
Okay, 200?
Fine. And my point is I think most people are actually deeply sensitive, and we've just had to build up all these guards and protections as a way to protect ourselves because we don't live in a society or an environment where it's like celebrated to be sensitive.
Okay, but if they think it's their happiness, then what makes it not?
I mean, that's a great question. That's like for a whole other thing. Yeah. No, seriously, because then it's like, yeah. I mean, but like back in the day, I thought certain things would make me happy that didn't make me happy, but I thought they made me happy.
As
so
long,
it's interesting.
Yeah, but as long as you're following the thing that makes you happy, then it is the thing. And then if you start to realize this isn't it, I'm just like, whatever, then you got, then
you
go to somewhere else,
right.
You know?
Yeah, because it's what we said before. You always make the right choices because sometimes you have to go with what you think makes you happy to realize, oh, no, this doesn't. There's something else out there that's even more fulfilling.
There you go.
Beautiful. Let's wrap this up.
Get the fuck out of here.
Where can they find you, Joe Santagato?
On Twitter, at Joe Santagato.
And guys, don't forget to check out his other podcast, The Basement Yard,
look
in case
you
didn't know it existed. Yeah, look at me. It's, you know, if you want a more serious podcast, check out Basement Yard. And if you guys want a tarot card reading, it's now $50. I will go deep into your souls and yeah, we'll do some magic together because you're all cute little fairies. Email me kwolf27@gmail.com. I would love for you guys to come out and see Nathan McIntosh and I April 21st at 8 o'clock at New York Comedy Club. Promo code Nate Kate. And then Unicorn Tits is at the V Spot Cafe.
Good Lord.
Right next to New York Comedy Club, and it's a free show. So that is March 10th. And yeah, Twitter at the Kate Wolf. I have a lot of things to say at the end. It's really annoying. Thanks for listening, guys. Bye.